In my weakness, he is strong. In your weakness, he is strong. Of the decades that I've done this and walked with God and in the gifts that he's called me to and training me and developing me in all ways, it never ceases to amaze me when the anointing shows up to do what he's called me to do. And the same is true with you. Once you know what he's called you to do, you don't have to stand behind a pulpit. You can do whatever God's asking you to do. The anointing will be there. You may feel it, you may not feel it. If we're always looking after feelings for feelings, we're in the sense realm. But it's important to be in the spirit realm. It's important to obey God and not look for an experience or a feeling or something that's exciting that happens. What's God leading you to do? Oh, the feelings will come and the excitement and those things will come and go, but the word will remain. The word. God has given us his word. God will remain. He never changes. The word of the Lord came to me yesterday and I couldn't get away from it. And I said, who is this for? But I was not given specifics at that time. But the word is uprooted. 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 Many times I'll see words over people's heads, or I'll know that certain words are for them and they're different. Just one word, as I shared with you that time back on the back row. Your name escapes me right now, but what is your name? Wanda, I know that. I'm sorry. When we get over in realms, sometimes it's, we're believers, we're part of the body, you know. But like that one word came, but this is uprooted. But God wants to share with you that those of you who have felt uprooted, that he's replanting. He's replanting. He's replanting. He's replanting. He's replanting. So let it grow. Let that which is within you grow. Grow to a place that he desires. And whether I looked at you or pointed at you or not, you receive that if you need it. God cares about you in this body. He cares about Kepisho, Apasehete, Ebahobarahaha, Ismeheron Sponkaha Rebefe Tiburongta. Cares about the little things. Cares about those who have care. God cares for you in a way. Cares for you in a way that he will show you in days to come. So an upheaval would bark and shout at you, failure, no hope, you can shout back, victory and faith. Declare what you know in your heart. Declare righteousness and hope and faith. Declare victory in the face of defeat and failure. For the covenant of the believer with Almighty God shall distinguish the flames of lies. The covenant with the believer and Almighty God has been established by Christ and shall be established by you on the earth in your life. Fires of discontent and hopelessness would rage, but they're extinguished by the water of the Word. You're no longer in a cage. Suffering by the body is understood by the compassionate Father. He cares in ways you know not of. His gentleness, His understanding, the qualities of His love. Father, we want to be aware of Your presence. In our weakness, You're strong. In our tiredness, You give energy. In our questions, You give answers. Oh, thank You, Jesus, for Your love, for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for revelation knowledge to flow today far beyond the words I speak into the hearts and lives of these, Your people, Your precious, precious lambs, Your precious sheep. That blood was spilled for us. Oh, thank You, Jesus. You've not left us helpless. You've given us tools. You've given us weapons of spiritual warfare far beyond sense, knowledge, reasoning. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Holy Spirit, we just welcome You as the true teacher within us. We don't need a man to teach us. We need You to teach us. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good, isn't He? Look in you, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, 6. If you look back on the ntcfalive.org, .net, or can't remember which one it is. Net. There are sermons listed, and then there are recent sermons, and there are sermon archives or archived. And within the current ones and within the archives, there's a series that I've been sharing. I've been sharing about once a month for a few months this year. And the Lord led me this past year to teach on faith, go back to faith. And so you can see those if you haven't heard those. This series are three other lessons. Faith sees the answer. Faith speaks the answer. Faith acts on the answer. Today we're going to talk about faith works by love. Faith works by love. Galatians 5, verse 6 from the New American Standard says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." So it doesn't mean anything. In other words, it has no strength or no power, the original language says. When we try to do things, as Jeremy was talking about this scripture earlier, is in the flesh. When you try to do something in the flesh by religious means, by religious forms and formalities, doing something in the flesh or not doing something in the flesh means nothing. It's faith working by love. It's doing something in the Spirit. Many times we wonder why our faith's not working. I've prayed, Lord God, I've done what I know to do. Why is my faith not working? Whenever I have an opportunity to believe God and my faith doesn't seem to work in an area, I go back and check on my love life. And I don't mean my relationship with Joanne. I'm talking about love. Am I walking in the one of the four kinds of love, the highest form of agape in the four words in the Greek in the New Testament? Am I walking in that unconditional love? Because if I'm not, I need to get that right first. So that is a place you can check up on. Faith works by love. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision, neither fleshly ways of accomplishing things don't mean anything. They have no power. But faith working through love does have power. Faith is strong when we walk in God's love. Say that out loud. Faith is strong when we walk in God's love. I used to say this. One of the first rules of walking in love is this. You might want to write this down. This is very important. One of the first rules of walking in love is this. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. Don't be sticking your nose in somebody else's business. Unless the Spirit of God does. If He leads you, then that's different. I remember when I went to Bible school, one of my friends who lived in an apartment complex I was in was from Illinois, and there were a lot of farmers there. And there, you've probably seen this, but I've seen it around here, bumper sticker on the back of a truck saying, "Don't complain about the farmers with your mouth full." You know, quit complaining. It's human nature, not our nature, human nature. Your old nature doesn't have any authority over you because it's not yours anymore. Human nature wants to look at somebody else and put them down so you'll feel better about yourself. Amplified says, "For if we in Christ Jesus, if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith," look at these four words, "activated, energized, expressed, and working through love." Phillips' translation brings that out, faith expressing itself through love. My faith is activated, my faith is energized, my faith is expressed. How? In working, it works through love. A step out of love is a step into trouble. Am I walking in faith? Do you want to know if you're walking in faith? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in that unconditional love? Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, at the turn of the century, you're going to get the abridged version today, the condensed version. Maybe at Greg and Nancy's we'll go into a lot more detail about this. But Dr. Lillian Yeomans had a faith house where they would take terminally diseased patients that did given up on by the medical science and bring them in to this house, and they would simply speak the word over them. This is at the 1913. They would speak the word, speak scriptures over them, and get these patients to just start speaking the word over themselves. It was amazing how many miraculous healings they had just by speaking the word. But this is one thing she said. If I pray and I don't get results, I start changing. She said, why? Because there will have to be a change somewhere before the answer can come. The change won't be with God because God never changes. Sue White, a great Bible teacher, friend of my parents, used to say this, the only person who needs to change is me, not you, me. So before we can effectively walk in love, we need to focus and realize four things. Number one, if I'm going to walk in love and my faith to work, I need to know what love is and what it's not. Okay? I need to know what are you talking about? Love. Unconditional love. Well, the Bible is very clear about that. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse, and you know this. And here's I'm gonna challenge every one of you in here. Every single one of you in here. I went back and heard a tape of mine from 1980 something the other day, and I was doing it then, and I'm gonna keep doing it. For 1 month, I encourage you to do this. Learn from the Amplified or the Amplified Classic or whatever translation you want to. I put those two at top. Learn this. If you have to memorize it at first, that's okay. But learn it so that you can meditate on it and meditate on each part of it. This will change your life. If you do it for 30 days, it will automatically change you. You can do it individually. You can do it as a couple. Joanne and I can quote this to each other. But instead of saying love endures long and is patient and kind, we say I endure long or we endure long. And put that pronoun in there for you. I endure long and am patient and kind. I'm never envious nor boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious. Now this is from the Amplified. I do the classic, but love, I never boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. Next verse. I'm not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. I'm not rude or unmannerly. I do not act unbecomingly. I do not insist on my own rights or my own ways, for I'm not self-seeking. Man, listen, selfishness is the biggest enemy of love. Selfishness. How many people have you had pull in front of you driving this week? Last week? In the last month? How many of you pulled in front of somebody this week because you're in a hurry? Selfishness. I'm not self-seeking. I do not insist on my own rights or my own ways. I'm not self-seeking. I'm not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I do not pay attention to I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I do not rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness, but I rejoice when right and truth prevail. And it's not right that the devil would throw pain on me. And it's not right that the enemy would throw lies at me and I would believe them. So I don't rejoice at that. I rejoice when right and truth prevail. Amen?
Amen.
I'm ever ready. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. I'm ever ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And I endure everything without weakening. Everything. There's nothing, devil, you can throw at me that I'm going to be weak in. Because in my weakness of myself, you, God, are strong. Love never fails. I never fail. I never fade out. I never become obsolete. I never come to an end. Why? Because I walk in love in Jesus' name. Amen. That's Joanne and I. That's our version of it. And we look at each other and say it to each other. We do this. It's very humbling to do that, dear wife. And I got this the other day. I'm just driving from one house to the other, trying to move stuff. And this is so simple. And I wondered, this came to me, the reason faith works by love is because love never fails.
Yeah.
How simple is that? The reason my faith is going to work by love is because love never fails. And if I'm walking in love, my faith cannot fail. Isn't that simple? But boy, that would just rev. I almost started shouting in the car. Well, glory to God. That's why faith works by love. It does work. It produces results because love, God's love in me, cannot fail. It cannot fail. Look at the person beside you and say, it cannot fail. But it's up to you and me to live in instant forgiveness. Don't let bitterness come in. You got to start confessing these truths. You'll never rise above your confession. You'll never rise above it. If you say, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm sick, I'm lonely, you're going to never rise above that. We got into this before. I know a lot of you love horses and animals and stuff, you know, and I know they can communicate. Believe me, I understand that. But he gave you the understanding and the ability to speak words. And these words are so important. That's a whole other lesson. Let's don't get off that. So number one, realize what God's love is and what it isn't. Number two, realize God loves you. Such a simple, simple thing, but God loves you. How many people don't really grasp that? I mean, believers don't grasp that. So I was driving on that same road, and the Lord ministered this, let me love you.
Yeah.
Let me love you.
Yeah.
Some people are holding it back.
Yeah.
Holding it back. They don't understand. And I got this. You might want to write this down. This is so cool. The lie of unworthiness has given believers a sense of unworthiness.
Yeah.
The lie of unworthiness has given believers a sense of unworthiness. You see, Nancy asked me a question. Nancy Cloud asked me a question, and it's plagued me. Don't ask me questions like this. I'm messing with you. But she prompted something in a Bible at the home group the other night, or several weeks ago, a month ago probably, more, maybe longer. Why are you so adamant? Why are you so adamant about teaching righteousness and righteousness consciousness? Because righteousness promotes faith. I'm beginning to start to understand that question and the answer to it. Righteousness consciousness promotes your faith so that faith will work. But I have to understand that God loves me and made me the righteousness of God in Christ and made you the righteousness of God in Christ so that you can approach His throne, so you can believe God, so you can take His word and do something with it. He's not left you here helpless. This is not the mundane routine, going to work, driving, getting up, going to bed, brushing your teeth, going to the bathroom, taking a shower, doing a bath. I mean, all this stuff. That's all the natural stuff. Look, you're ministering to this guy, the flesh. Your spirit doesn't need a shower. Of course, you can wash your wife with the water of the word, so maybe I'm negating myself there. But your spirit doesn't need all this stuff. That's in this realm. So what are we doing with the other realm, the spirit realm? Are you with me? Like Brother Higgins, you say, are you still here? You gone home? Are you here? 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. They're children of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. They do not, because it knew Him not. There's so many. This is so condensed, but just hear me out here. God loves you. What manner of love the Father has bestowed or given? I think the New International says lavished on you. I've said before, one time I was teaching somewhere, and I said, what does it mean to be lavished on? And this lady hollered out, dumped in bucketfuls. That love is dumped in bucketfuls in our spirit and on our spirit, man. You have the ability to love. God loves you. He reconciled the world to Himself. Clarence Jordan Cotton Patch says he's hugging the world. God's hugging you with the Word. He has redeemed you through Christ. I love this. We have such vast resources available to us. If you go on YouTube, you can punch in E.W. Kenyon, K-E-N-Y-O-N, and you can pull up books of his and listen to them. Now, I'm going back and reading a book called In His Presence. And I can't get past certain chapters. I just go back and hear it on CD, but you can hear it. I was working yesterday and punched in on the phone and listened to it. And he said this: we come into the throne room, that room of love gifts, into the very presence of the Father, and we talk things over with Him. That's the kind of Father God we have. We could come boldly, but gently, into the throne room, that room of love gifts, the very presence of the Father, and we can talk things over with Him. See, He loves you. He made you righteous so you can approach Him. He loves you. To me, that encourages my faith. Look at the person beside you and say, God loves you. Look back at him and say, he really does. Okay, so we need to know what love is and what it's not. The fact that He loves us so that our faith will walk and work in by love, and that His love is in you. Look back at him and say, His love is in you. Now look back at him and say, so act like it. Romans 5:5, New American Standard, a snippet of this chapter, but this one little thing says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, the Holy Spirit. Jordan says, God has given us a love transfusion. The Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, translated it this way: we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I love that. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generally pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. But what about you? What are you? Maybe you're at a place where I was. I went to God one time and I said, God, I cannot love this person. I cannot love this person. They've been so evil to me. Now, some people may not understand that, but this was my own mother. my own mother. And it was a difficult, it's difficult for me to even say that now because I know this goes out on the internet and people may hear it and my relatives may not understand. So many people didn't understand. But she had such huge issues. If we could have just gotten her through For Your Health, that seminar, she could have been helped so much. And me too. I wish we'd gone through it together. But she had such huge issues and such disappointments in her life. Now I can have compassion on her. But one day I was talking, I was in the office, the church office where I was pastoring, and Joanne was the secretary, and I was, you know, I hung up on the phone, Mom, and I had this huge battle. And here I am, trying to pastor this small church, battling with my mother and trying to teach on God's love. Now that's a difficult thing. It's just a in fact, I don't tell anybody. I gave him a hint because I knew he was leading worship, but I don't tell you what I'm teaching on. Rarely. If I do, I usually get in trouble, especially on love. Love and money. The world has problems with them. Preachers have problems. You start talking about, praise God, I'm going to be talking about God's love. You're going to get every opportunity to fail before you get in the pulpit. Where was I? But my mother and I had words. And I'd come to the end of my rope. You know what that means like? I mean, it means you come to the end of a place where you just, I can't do anymore. God, what's going on here? I know this is not you, but I know you're trying to work something in me. And I got on my face in that office. I closed the door, got on my face in that office, and I wept. I'm not trying to be sensational here, but the carpet was wet. I said, God, show me one thing I can love about her because I cannot stand her. I hate her. One thing. Because I've got to start somewhere. That love was in me, but I didn't know how to show it. I couldn't get past the bitterness and the resentment and the unforgiveness. One thing. I came up off that floor with one small thing. And that one positive thing sticks with me almost every day now. And I started to love her. Even on her deathbed, she pointed her finger at me with resentment. But I loved her. I just loved her through it. God's love is in you. I love that person. Stop saying, I can't love that person. You want your faith to work? We're not going to turn there, but Mark 11, 22 through 24, it's great faith scriptures, but verse 25 and 26 talk about forgiveness. It won't work if you have unforgiveness in your heart. You're wondering why your prayers aren't getting answered? Maybe you need to check up on that. Am I really walking in forgiveness? Have I forgiven people who are alive? Have I forgiven people who are dead? That's a kind of a strange thing. But I had someone die on me, and it was like, you know, the joke almost was, don't you die on me, and he did, recently. And every time I paddle down that section of the river, the Green River, I think about him, and I talk about him. And the joke back then was, who's going first? And I said, Paul will remember you when we come through here and see these ridges and these peaks. And I got so angry. Because he went early. Part of it was jealousy. I wanted to go and be in heaven. But his ministry wasn't through here. I got so angry at the devil. You need to forgive those who've gone on if you feel rejection from them. Look beyond the fault to the need. Love covers a multitude of sins. Kenyon says, with silence. I'm throwing so much at you, but this is so deep that there's no way I could cover it today. So, four things to realize. What God's love is and isn't. If we're going to walk, faith works by love. If faith is going to work by me walking in love, that's going to produce the results. Then what love is and what it isn't, what is it? That God loves me and his love is in me. And finally, God wants to love through you. So simple. So simple. God wants to love through you. 1 John chapter 4. We used to sing a song like this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. I love scripture songs. They help me learn the scriptures. Let us love one another. So I guess we have the ability to love. One person said, I'm going to walk in love whether anybody else does or not. That's powerful. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. My wife and I took some time off and went to Tennessee recently for 2 days. We'd been working so much and we just needed time away. And I walked in this store, and now I'm sure you've seen this. I never had seen it. There was a little sign that said, anger is just one letter a word from danger. One letter away from danger. Anger is just one letter away from danger. Anger. God wants to love through you. Through you. He loves you. What is love? What's not? He loves you. His love is in you, but he wants to show that love to other people. And this is where you can operate your faith. We'll close with this scripture. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Are you getting anything? Are you learning anything? We can stand up here and wave our arms and shout and spit and preach and all that stuff, you know. But the teaching gift is what I love the best. Matthew chapter 14, verse 12. Now, but let me set the stage here very quickly, and I've eliminated that. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. You know the story. Herod, Herodias, son Philip's wife, won his head on a platter. The girl danced before him. He's given his word, off with his head. Think about what that did to Jesus. Think about their mothers when they came together. And the baby jumped in her womb. Think about the lifelong understanding of what John the Baptist's ministry really was. To proclaim the coming of the king. And he's in prison. He's been beheaded. And look what happens. Right after this. And his disciples came, Jesus' disciples came and took up the body. Was it Jesus or maybe it was John the Baptist? I'm sorry. I don't know. I have to go back and look. Took up the body and buried it and then went and told Jesus. Think about that. Think about how would you like to have been one of those guys? We've got to go tell Jesus now. When Jesus heard of it, he got angry. He's all get out and said, I'm going to go get him and call down thunder on him, lightning. No. He could have. What did he do? He departed by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out to the cities. He went to be by himself. He had to go collect his thoughts. Sometimes, this just came to me, you need to collect your thoughts and throw them aside and listen to what's in here. Because your thought life, the battleground of Satan is the mind. And he will do everything he can to defeat you there. But glory to God, we have the possibility to renew our minds, renew them, and rise above the old confession and declare the new confession of God's Word. Life. He went forth and saw a great multitude, so he couldn't get away from the people. The one thing he needed to do was to get away from the people that he thought, I need to get away from the people, just I need to get with God here for a second. But the people followed him. He saw a great multitude. And what happened? He was moved with compassion. Throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, there are several places. I'm doing a study on this. That Jesus was moved with compassion. And what he did was he kicked the devil right then. The love of God came through him. At the lowest point emotionally, other than the Garden of Gethsemane, the lowest point when his friend had been killed. And what did he do? He healed their sick. He healed their sick. He was moved with compassion. The gospel said he fed them. He was moved with compassion and taught them. That's what runs me. That's what runs on the inside of me, is the compassion of God to teach people. But he healed their sick. John was dead, but he healed their sick and proved out that he was there to destroy the works of the devil. Yeah. He had to do it in faith. He laid aside his deity and came to earth as a man, just like you and me. And he had to do it in faith. His faith worked by love. By love. Compassion. He was moved with compassion and healed the two blind men who were sitting. But then the verse is going to say, and they followed him. Why could they follow him? Because they could see. You and I come across people every day. You want your faith to work? Faith should primarily work for others. Redirect your faith away from yourself so much and put it on others. And be moved with the compassion of God. Destroying the works of the devil. He was moved with compassion, and compassion moved him to do something. Say this out loud. I must be moved with compassion and do something. Love motivated him. God was flowing through him. God wants to flow through you with his love. Jesus exercised his faith, and he did it in love. Love interfered with the devil's works. That's what we're to do, isn't it? We're just to interfere with the devil's works in people's lives. Just mess with them. Jesus was destroying the devil's works. God's works are being declared in the earth through faith, because faith works by love. I hope you got something out of this. It works by love. Check up on yourself. When there's something hindering my faith, I always go and check up on myself. I'll close with this. I never, really, after I left Bible school, I didn't talk a lot about Kenneth Hagin a lot. I did a little bit at first, I guess, but for years I went, I didn't research his life, or I didn't really realize. Joey and I have talked to each other recently over the last couple of years and said, we didn't even realize who we were sitting under, what kind of ministry we were sitting under. So I've gone back and just kind of tried to understand him more. And at his funeral, they tell a story, what happened. He had two granddaughters, Candy and Cookie, those were their names. Harrison. But you've heard of, maybe heard of Harrison House Publishers. But that was his son-in-law. But he told this story where one of them, Candy or Cookie, came over to the house, and they had words. And he was a man of few words. You know, it pays to be a person of few words. You know that? Words can get you into trouble. And they had words. And the next morning, he called her up with symptoms of a cold. And for decades, the man had not had symptoms come on him longer than a few moments. He said, I want you to come over here. She came over and he repented to her. He apologized. She said when she walked in, his eyes were running, his nose was red, and he was just feeling terrible. He said, I'm sorry. His faith wasn't working. Yet the man taught faith. We don't lift him up, but he taught faith. Grandfather of faith, the father of the faith message, blah, blah, blah. Within a short time, those symptoms left. We're in life and death. Maybe it's a cold. Maybe it's a bill you got to pay. Maybe it's a loved one that's going through hell right now. Maybe your children or loved ones or somebody is going through all sorts of stuff. You got your faith out. You're believing God. But something's delaying it. Check up on your love life. Check up on love. What have you done with love? The unconditional love. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's your faith and it's your love, that unconditional love, and we just walk by it. Thank you, we're going to be mindful of that this week. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much more I want to say to you. That's what Paul said. There's so much more I want to say to you. Put the word in your spirit. Ryan, come on up. Put the word in your spirit. It'll come out. It'll come out when you need it. Meditate on it. Put it in there. Paul said, I was reading in Acts, I was listening to Kenyon, he said in Acts chapter 20, he said, Paul said, I commend you to God and to his word. He was leaving the Ephesians. He said, I commend you to God and his word, the word of grace.